if we take a student, if we take the example of a student of a talib ilm, and it is said to the student that the exam paper has been leaked, the exam questions have been leaked, and to pass, we have learnt a very easy, you can say, formula and method to pass the exam. And that method is that all the questions that will come in the exam, those 8, 9, 7, 8 questions in the paper, from those questions, what you need to do is that we will tell you the strategy of how to revise for one specific question or subject matter, and all of the questions will be based on that subject matter. And if you answer that question correctly and you pass that question, then don't worry, all of the other questions that will come in the paper, then due to the successful answering of that specific question, the rest of the answers will be completed in a good fashion. Otherwise, you'll have to study all of the subject matter, all of the kitabs, you have to learn everything, and even then you don't know what's going to happen. So that student will implement most of the time the revision and practice on that question, on that subject matter, and then he'll know that if I succeed in answering this question, then I will pass the exam in the rest of the questions. So alhamdulillah, then I will pass the exam. And then even if I'm weak in the other questions, then I'll pass due to the weight of the marks for this specific subject and question. And that student will spend most of his time on the question that has more weight. And if the person does that, then alhamdulillah, he or she will pass and be successful in the exam. So this is the success of the dunya. Now the success of the hereafter, which is the real success. Very great success, upon which all of our success in the hereafter hinges. We need to pass properly in the hereafter, not fail. We don't want to fail. So if now the questions were to be leaked, the exam paper of the hereafter was to be leaked, we know that our hajj should be correct, and our umrah should be correct, and this should be correct, and that should be correct. So many ibadat. What do we know? That how our deeds will be looked at and judged and measured. So if then the question papers was to be leaked, that you've done so many amal, but pay attention more on this amal, and if this amal of yours is correct, this deed of yours is correct, then you will pass the test. Then what a great fact that would be, isn't it? So rahmatul lil alamin, Imam ul Anbiya, Nabi al Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, has been merciful to the ummah, and he explained to us the questions that we will face in the hereafter. Such a great ni'mah that he made this easy for us, and the exam papers were out. That this is the hadith in Tabarani, and this is a mustanid hadith, this is a confirmed hadith, and many narrators have mentioned this hadith, and Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat rahmatullah alayh has included this hadith in his kitab, this hadith, and it's a great hadith with guidance for us, and the question is out, the paper's out for our success. The Rawi, the narrator, Hazrat Abdullah radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased, and he stated that Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that, look, now the question is being explained. The question is being explained. Now on the Day of Judgment, to the man, the first question that will be put forward to man, the first question will be about Salah. And the person whose Salah is correct, subhanallah, if the salah is perfect, namaz is perfect, then consider that all of his other affairs and amal will be in order, will be correct. And that person whose salah is weak, has gaps, and is not correct, then all of the amal, doesn't matter how many amal he brings forward or she brings forward, they will all go to waste. So now tell me, to the ummah, such a great sign for success has been given. What a great path to success that Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us. And He's made deen so easy. And Rasulullah said, don't worry if you've got things lacking in your other amal. You can't reach to the heights in your amal, but you need to pay attention more to one specific action. And that person who has wisdom, knowledge and understanding, when he or she realizes that first question has to be passed is salah, Allah will say, all other amal put to the back. First bring salah. Allah will look at salah. And salah, if alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, our salah is correct, subhanallah, then we don't need to worry. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given us a guarantee, then you are in Jannah, in paradise. And this is a hadith in Tabarani, has a Jabir bin Abdullah radiyallahu anhu, he narrates. What a beautiful hadith. And he made this even more easier for us to understand, that the key to Jannah paradise is Salah. Salah. And for us, we've gone the opposite, flip side. That all of the amal, the deeds, we pay attention, nawafil, voluntary actions, but we don't care about Salah. We think that, oh, I'll stay up all night, I'll remember Allah, and then we leave Fajr Salah. We leave the prayer in the morning. Doesn't matter what happens, even if we have no deeds to our name. But if our Salah is to be improved and corrected to that level upon which we have been informed that we need to pray Salah correctly, then that is called the good Salah, the good prayer. So all life long, the struggle and effort that a mu'min needs to make, a Muslim man or woman, is on his or her Salah. Now, going to the walis of Allah, doing dhikr, adhkar, tazkiyah, the reason for all of this effort is so we can improve our Salah, our prayer. Remember this. We need to improve our Salah. Our Salah should be on that level, just like the Prophet of Allah explained to us, the hukam, the order. And for the men, it is lazim, compulsory, to go and pray Salah in Jama'ah, in congregation. And no excuse will be accepted, no excuse. If it is about presenting Salah, then remember that Salah will be accepted that all day long. How many Salah of mine were performed in Jama'ah congregation in the masjid? If you say, no, I did this much, 1,000 tasbih, this much talawat, this much recitation, I prayed tahajjud Salah, and that person's Salah has disappeared in congregation, there's no prayer. The person's not praying in congregation. Then that's the maqam for crying. That's the state, situation, the scenario where a person should cry on his misfortune. That the question that's been asked, and will be asked this question, Allah's Nabi says, has told us this, we have to make effort on that specific action. And our Salah should be so strong and robust that we shouldn't even imagine that any other factor like wealth or children or dunya, nothing should come in our way or stop us from praying Salah. La tulhikum amwalukum wa auladukum bi dhikrillah. The biggest dhikr is Salah. Remember this point. That no strength of the dunya can affect us. We run after taka taka, money, we're standing at the shop, Salah is passing, we're talking, namaz is passing. And guests have come, we leave Salah. We don't pray Salah. And we can go to Salah, and doesn't mean that we're praying at home. I'm talking about Jama'ah, congregation. Not about the Salah that you pray at home, Nafil or Sunnah Salah units. I'm talking about Jama'ah, congregation, Fard. And in that home where there is no Salah, Jama'at, then apart from Adab and punishments of Allah, no Wazifa, no Dhikr, nothing can correct the scenario in that home. Nothing. First thing that we need to pay attention to in our homes, especially the women folk and the men, first and foremost, mostly is Salah. We should pray Salah according to the right that is due. Even children, the first question that we need to do with our children, remember this. What should we do? Is that we should give tarbiyah and invite them to Salah. Even if the child is young, bring that child next to you. Stand the child next to you during Salah. It doesn't matter how young is the child. Once the child is playing, 2-3 years of age, is the Salah an attraction? The child will sit with you, pray Salah, lift his index finger and do sujood and prostrate like you and then look at you. So the child starts to do this action. And for us it said, the child will grow up and then he'll pray Salah, she will pray Salah, he will pray. This is a weird concept with regards to Salah. And in deen, the thing that happens that goes wrong in deen is when a person says, I will correct my children or improve my children, give tarbiyah, is because from the beginning the person did not instill the habit of Salah into the children. In homes we have, this is a big problem in our families, in our home societies, that we don't pay attention to this fact in the lives of our children. And another action in our society, in our homes and families, is that the husband says to the wife that you are not giving proper upbringing to our children. And the wife says, it's your job to do the upbringing of the children. You tell the children to pray Salah. No. Why should I do this? You speak to the children. She'll say, no, you tell my children or our children. I don't have time. I don't have the energy to do so. Imagine this. So if the woman, if the wife has deen in her life, she shouldn't be playing games and say, oh, let me blame my husband. No, leave him if he is negligent and doesn't teach. But it's the woman's role, the wife, the mother's role, that invite the children to Salah by hook and crook, with love, with muhabbat, even if by telling off, even if the children are young, they haven't reached the age of 7, then okay, good point. But if you've done tarbiyah and they've surpassed the age of 7 and they've grown up and it's difficult to hold them back, even then you should not lose hope that if we live amongst the arguments and we say that, oh, it was father's responsibility, or no, it wasn't father's, it was your responsibility, Allah Ta'ala will not ask this, whose responsibility was it, who said, who didn't say. Allah said that it's responsibility of both the mother and father to teach deen to the children. Both. But whoever gets the opportunity first, alhamdulillah, then this is a great ibadah. This is tabligh to teach our children. Anfusakum. Allah Ta'ala says, first look at your home. Why do you go and look outside and worry about other people and you go out and tell people about deen and salah, etc.? First, correct your own home. Give tarbiyah and give advice to your children. Coaching. And don't worry. Allah Ta'ala says, that person who spent his time in salah, salah guarantees to that person. Salah guarantees in the Quran. Allah Ta'ala mentions that that person who prays salah, then that person will go away from fahash, immodesty and impurities of sin. They are children who grow up, they have good age, many, and they don't know about salah. They have no desire, no shauq, zog. And then we look, if we're looking for barakah and blessings, and solitude, you could say, or peace of heart, it's impossible if we're not doing things the right way. The big gap in our ma'ashra, in our society, in our ummah, is that we have made salah like a game. We have made prayer like a game, and that action has ceased. And salah is so minor for us. We say, oh, I'm lazy, I don't feel like, especially our women folk, that in salah, they cannot achieve what is required. We took the example, due to the excuse of cooking, doing the housework, we'll leave salah. If they pray their skeleton, let me do this first, let me dust this first, let me clean this first, and due to negligence and laziness in salah, imagine, the first thing for the women folk is that the women folk should pray salah in its first initial time. In the initial time, the husband should tell the wife, and the wife should tell the husband. And if there's an argument on this, then this argument is full of barakah. If there's difference of an opinion here, then there's barakah in this. There's blessing in this. That if we have difference with the children on this, no problem. If we have to explain to the children, and our children, they grow up, and they're of a higher age, and they're not praying salah, we don't say anything to the children. Who will give the response to Allah on the Day of Judgment? The adab will come. And then we'll be asked, where's your Quran and tahajjud that you pray, dhikr, adhkar? All of this will disappear. All of this will disappear. And we won't realize that where has this all gone? Where have our deeds gone? Has it been accepted or not? So we should not even imagine. And this is the tasawwuf itself. If our salah is improved, then this is the greatest tasawwuf. The greatest Sufism is this. We think Sufism is some weirdness, karamat, miracles, visions and dreams. No. If the biggest miracle of a wali of Allah, if you want to see it, it's his salah. The state of his salah, the depth of his salah, how much love that person has for salah. I, alhamdulillah, witnessed this. I saw this, the greatest kashf of my Hazrat, my Sheikh. Hazrat used to love the masjid so much, the Hazrat would not leave the masjid. And if somebody would come and say, Hazrat, give me ta'weez, and he would have to leave his seat, then he would breathe a deep sigh. Subhan, he said, the people don't let me sit in the masjid. Oh, and then I have to leave for a certain reason the masjid, and then I have to come back again. Subhanallah. So tell me that we, mashallah, we go to Haramain, Sharifain, and then we pray salam, we run after salah. That tell us, where's the exit? Some people, Allah Ta'ala gives them tawfiq, and it's so hard to get there in the first place. Allah Ta'ala gives them a chance. What do? That they pray salah at the back, so they can quickly go to the hotel afterwards and eat and drink. And this is what we do with Haramain. This is the hal of our salah in Haramain. They tell me this, that there, you cannot get space at the back, you can get space at the beginning, at the front. I understood this after such a long time, when I used to see there's so much rush at the back. Lots of people. I'd say, ooh, haram is full. I used to consider this, I thought this, that the people have come, the musallis have come right to the back. And someone said, Hazrat, this is not the case. That have courage, go forward and see, and you'll get a lot of place in the rest of the masjid. You can do tawaf and you can sit. And this is what would happen. I said, who are these people? These are those people that they say, first come, first go. They're operating on that platform, and that's the hal of our salah. That we will stand next to where the slippers and the shoes are, pray salah, do the salam, and quickly run out of the masjid. You've come to pray salah. Alhamdulillah. If you pray this nafil, probably if you sit and do tasbih and you make a niyah, an intention of itikaf, then tell me that itikaf, niyah, you're praying nafil, a voluntary salah, and Quran, and the time you're spending, you'll go out and speak, and you do dhikr of Allah and maraqbah, then can be a greater action than that you pray salah. So that person, doesn't understand the priority. So what is this? Why does a person not want to pray Salah properly? Because of the reason that that person is negligent. But when a person knows the questions that will be asked to him, which questions have been leaked and explained, and we have to make big efforts and utilize our energy for Salah, we need to be ready for this. Why? Why? Because this same Salah that we've wasted, that we've not prayed correctly for the sake of £10, £15, £20, in the hereafter, even if I'm offered a sultanate, kingdom, leadership, and we'll say, Allah, please, we don't want this sultanate, kingdom, leadership, but please correct our Salah. But then we'll be told, sorry, it's too late, the time has passed. One Salah nafal will be so valuable, a nafal Salah, I tell you. One nafal Salah. So this is a very big point that we need to see in our homes, that we need to improve our situation. And this is what we need to consider as tasawuf. And this is tasawuf. The rest, dhikr adhkar, has come for improving this scenario. Now, if we want to see a person who's come to the wali of Allah, he's come to the shaykh, then tawbah, bayah, and if we have to see success, if that person's salah is improving, and it's come to that level, that what we need to compare with, that my salah was different before, I used to pray at home, I used to leave salah, and now the dhikr of Allah has given me such benefit that I do not leave the salah in congregation, then consider that person is successful. And not just like that, rather it's a promise that the dhikr and the adhkar you've done, even that is elevated, high status, high grade. You've got the reward for that as well. And you get the thawab mujahidat of the Qur'an. And if I'm not praying salah in the correct way, in the correct manner, then I could be sat down all day long, all year long, all life long, doing dhikr in front of my shaykh. But if my salah is not correct, then everything is a waste. Nor is the dhikr beneficial, nor will you get thawab, nor reward, nothing will occur. First sabak, first lesson is when a person does tawbah and goes to the company of a wali of Allah and does dua that Allah, please improve my salah. I've come for this reason so I can revise my subject and I can pass the test. So our situation is opposite. As soon as we start dhikr, adhkar, and we go to a shaykh, hazrat, and we become solid and strong, then our salah gets weaker. We say, oh, I do dhikr and I start to see good deeds I'm doing and I get this reward and that reward. But this is for more promotion that Allah Ta'ala gives the bonus things to us. After we pray salah, if I see my home, my son, my child, your children, wife, and these actions, if we neglect salah, will take us to Jahannam. And we should deep sigh, we should have regret and remorse. Just like somebody's house is on fire and we have pain. Oh. And we should feel the same way. Look, my son's not going to salah. Look, he stood at the shop behind the till, but he's not going to pray salah. Look, yaar, what is his hal that he's not going to pray salah, this child? Why is he leaving salah? What adab must be coming on him, on the child or on a person? And how Allah Ta'ala must be displeased with that person? He or she considers himself lucky. Remember, there's adab for this, there's punishment for this. And the Quran and the Hadith are filled with these examples of the adab. But Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala tests people sometimes, tests. This is the sunnah ilahi, sunnah of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. That people who commit sins, for example, riba, consuming riba, Allah Ta'ala shows the punishment for riba. And lying, Allah Ta'ala gives the example and shows the example. And eating haram, consuming haram, Allah Ta'ala shows the punishment. And immodesty, Allah Ta'ala has told us that the punishment and those men and women who don't have haya, modesty, Allah Ta'ala has explained. Because other people, when they read and hear the hadith, then they get a bit of encouragement. Because to see with eyes is a very bad scenario. But from the hadith, the pious predecessors have said, the pious scholars have said this hadith, and I will explain this hadith again. So that these words are all for our ibrat and for our warning and admonishment, so we can improve our lives. Whatever's lacking, we can make up for the gap. Especially those sisters and brothers who are listening. Then listen carefully. So the first question on the Dajjal won't be, did you cook on time? Did you make roti on time? Chapatis on time? No. First, pray salah on time. Have an alarm clock in your home. That when the alarm goes off, we'll stop everything. 5 alarm clocks, bring them together. That this is the salah time has started, and I will pray salah in the beginning time. Because the women from don't have to go to Jummah congregation. So we should have fikr, worry for thereafter, and then see how much rahmah, mercy comes in the home, du'as accepted, and watch mercies and blessings emanate from the home. And there should be genuine feelings for our awlad. 7-year-old child, stand him or her next to you, and the child will start to pray salah. 7 years old, after that the child comes more into his own or her own. So we need to understand this. That's the time to explain and teach our children. And it's a very great event you will have heard, and I've explained it before, that Allah Ta'ala shows the adab sometimes for the sins. And the adab, every azab has a form and appearance. And sometimes Allah Ta'ala shows to the wali of Allah, Hazrat Shah Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah, was a great wali of Allah. And it's about him, this very famous event, and I've told you this one before maybe, is that Hazrat Shah Abdul Aziz would leave his home for salah, and he would have imamah, his blessed imamah on. When he would go to the masjid, then the tail of the imamah, he would cover his face and his eyes. Rahmatullah. And then Hazrat would enter into the masjid like this and sit on the minbar. So his khadim asked him once a question at the time of Jummah, especially at that blessed time of Jummah, that Hazrat, I have observed that you leave home, your imam is okay, the tail drops. As soon as you get close to the masjid, you enter into the masjid, then you take the end of your veil and you cover your eyes and face. And is this something special that I'm missing here? And there was a special reason why the student asked his teacher, and the teacher said, leave, why are you asking? Why is it you need to ask me and I have to answer? He said, no, Hazrat, please, I need to ask you. Then Hazrat said that, come to me next week, I'll tell you the reason for this. So he said, okay. So this is a true event I'm telling you in the kitab. Shaykh Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah, he was Sa'ib al-Kashf. As I said to you, some people, mashallah, Hazrat, Allah Ta'ala gives to the pious people kashf and the ability of vision, that what is the world doing in terms of sin and what's wrong, what's right. Yeah, riba and sood is haram. How people are leaving salah, actions of immodesty. We don't even know that we're doing these things. Oh, what is it? What's happening? What happens if I don't cover my face? What is it if I don't pray salah? What is it if I commit this sin? What is it if that my salah, if I am late? What if I pray two salah here? I prayed at least, haven't I? I'll pray, isn't it? Why are you telling me that I have to pray like this? And what we realize, what's happening in the background? Tell me the punishments, and they're busy in the sin. And the next week, he or she will come. He came to Hazrat. He said, Hazrat, you promised me. And Hazrat said, yes, come into the room. Hazrat took his imam off and put it onto the head of the student, the khadim. And the masjid that was filled with people, he thought, some dogs and cats and swine and donkeys, etc. And he was upset so much that this man is Amir Kabir, a big house. What's happened? Like many people come to Jummah, they are rich, they don't have time, they don't have a necessity. Jummah, they pray Jummah once a week, otherwise you don't get the place on the chair or the back or in the front. And everyone, those people who've done Umrah, they're sitting there, and the fakirs don't get a place. So all of the leaders at that time, they said, oh, what's happened here? That straight away, Hazrat gave his imamah to him, and he gave it back. And Hazrat said that this is the point, that these are their actions. They do actions, and the punishments have been mentioned in the Quran. These are the forms of those punishments, and when they pass away, then they will stay in that form and come to life. In the same form, in the same appearance, like said in the hadith, that some people's faces, like the person who does takabbur, who is proud, what happens? Is that a person, if you want to see that, wali of Allah will realize that it's the same man, but he's committing this sin. What is the punishment of a takabbur? Is that person, his body will become the size of an ant, the whole of the length, and his mouth will be like the human being, normal mouth, big as a mountain, and he will be walking around like an ant. Because Allah will say that this person, kibr, and pride, Allah, and he would be proud of himself. And the ni'mas that gave him the ease with regards to ilm and amal and dhikr, or gave him a higher status, etc. If I put him forward, if I gave him such a responsibility position, that person should learn shukr, be grateful, and what should come into his life? Remember, the more a person, Allah Ta'ala says, the more I elevate person, that person should be more humble. More humble. What do we call this? Tawaza. We call this tawaza. Humility, humbleness, and patience. That person will hide. Always in the heights is that person who has maybe nothing inside, but Allah Ta'ala gives him the ability, Allah Ta'ala accepts him. And don't ever think that kashf and karamat, is this jais or not? It's jais if you can recognize somebody through this. So how do we recognize somebody? In this way, that person will be high in iman and status. Then that person who is the highest in status will also lower himself the most. He'll have so much ajizi and humility. You say, what is this to this person? What's the scenario with this person? People will be amazed and shocked that such a person with high status, and this is happening, we used to hear good about you, and he's got rutabah and status, we used to hear his name, we heard his speeches, we heard this and that. When we went to see him, we said, just a normal person? And this is that person who is famous, from his mouth came these words, then understand that that person is very great indeed. And this is the hint that we've been given here. So my brothers, in the same way, in that day and age, there was a sister who passed away. And they went to the graveyard to bury her, like people go to the graveyard, and the brothers were there and they buried her and sealed the grave. And when they went home, then the purse in which there was money of her, the brother, then whilst he was burying the deceased, that purse, the wallet fell into the grave, and he thought, okay, the grave is fresh. He came back, saw the money's not there, went back to the graveyard, said, okay, I will dig the grave. Let me take my money back out of the grave, my money. Allahu Akbar. Within a few seconds, you see how the dunya, the life, the world changes. This is our hal. And we won't be recognized from these faces then. Oh, these dramas will not succeed, Bhajan. That then will come the true form in the presence of our amal. May Allah forgive. May Allah forgive. Because sin is a very severe thing indeed. So he went and he said, I'll dig the grave. He dug the grave. It was a fresh grave, Allahu Akbar. And he saw that his sister was burning amongst embers of fire and shrieking and screaming. And then he ran from the grave. He threw the soil back in. He said, huh? My sister, what's happened to her? Full of fire is the grave. Now tell me. That was there any preparation there? That did she not praise Allah? Did she commit a big kabira sin? And that it seems that she's made such a big mistake. What sin? What mistake is that person implemented that we don't even consider sin even important as the wing of a mosquito? That's how low we take the amal. Close to us, we think that even a drop, that's the hal of our sins. That, oh, my sister was okay. Ask mother, I live outside. Tell me the truth. My sister, what was her character? Was a character man thinks that maybe, what's the reason that she will have done a sin? Did she do zina? What was a hisab kitab? So he stated, his mother said that I bear witness, I testify my daughter, she was pure. I look at her, I saw her praying salah, she did talawa, she would get up in the morning, do tasbihat and dhikr adhkar. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the reality. Then the son said, mother, I've seen this in the grave. She said, oh, I remember one habit of your sister, my daughter, is that she would pray salah, but she was very negligent and unaware of the salah. Allahu Akbar. She would be lazy, negligent, oh, I'll pray now. And then the salah time would go due to laziness. He'd say, that would tell my sister so many times, what are you doing? She said, I'll pray my salah. And this is our fajr today. Look at our fajr. And look at our other salahs. And look at our sisters and women folk. And small excuses. What will happen to us tomorrow? This has been shown. Allah Ta'ala has given us the warning, explanation. And here, hasn't it? Even this message has come to Bolton, to the whole world. One event is enough. One hadith is enough. If it's come to the hadith, that this is the punishment for the sin. And Allah has shown amalan, the answer to what is the punishment. Allah Ta'ala has shown through the experience. So this is the scenario that we are understanding today, my brothers. Let's do dua to Allah that all of our attempts and playing, don't play games with salah, don't run away from salah. This is the sahih hadith, ajr that we read. This is a Tabarani hadith. And great mashayikh, mashallah, have written this book with regards to salah. First and foremost, the first question about the amal that will be asked on the day of Qiyamah, judgment from the servant, when we go, all of us, and for example, if I know that I'm going to go to Qiyamah day and I need all my amal, so the first question I'll be asked is, what is the status play of your salah? Your salah, rather, won't just be asked, it will be seen that this person's salah, is it correct or not? Because the conditions to make our salah correct, we need to see all those conditions and fulfill them. But the top of the list is that every salah of ours should be in Jama'ah congregation, the men folk. In Jama'ah congregation. Until the day we have an excuse, Shari Uzr, excuse that can be looked at. Otherwise, no drama will succeed. Otherwise, it's lazim for the woman that if the person is first, go and check in and then pray salah, etc. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq so that we can do amal on this, that we should pay attention to this. Our salah, in no way or form should we compromise or leave our salah. Otherwise, what will happen? That Allah Ta'ala says that we'll say, oh, nothing's happening to me, I've left salah, I'm not praying in jama'ah, or I take interest riba, nothing's happening to me. Totally don't see this. Today we see we're happy, prosperous, we have something to our name. Why is this occurring? We'll realize on the day of judgment. And then we'll say, no, I left for this reason, or I did tawbah for this reason, what could I do? Allah will say that no issue at all. And the situation here is that we have the market with all the shops, and here's the masjid. And it's not even a 5-minute drive. Here is the bazaar, the marketplace, and then here's such a big masjid, Masjid Zakariya, Masjid Darul Quran, and Falah, and this masjid there, this masjid there. They're all around us, we see masjids, but we don't have the courage, determination that we leave that customer, and then we say that, oh, I don't know, I don't have the knowledge, and I try to get success in the hereafter. So here, we need to try our best, that I will play
I'll play. Even though I play, I'll pray my salah. But what do? I'll play and I won't let anyone else stop playing, and then you won't be praying salah either. So we don't remind each other, assist each other. O servants of Allah, what is this scenario? So if we want to say that we have aql, that factor that Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that I will tell you, if I didn't tell you, what would happen? And suddenly on the Day of Judgment, our Hisabnama, and then we didn't know, we say, Allah, I didn't know. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us the answer. Told us the questions that will come on the Day of Judgment. Through that, if we love those and we have true love with our wife and children, we'll never do this, that we argue with them or fight with them, and we'll say, pray salah. No, we'll say, this is the haq for the salah. Whenever you get an opportunity, improve the status of your home. Then your wife, if she has capability, she should explain. If the husband has the capability, he should explain. With the fear of Allah, we should explain, the children, Allah, you give me awlad, I need to improve the scenario. And if they are grown up, even if they're married, no problem. Our job is to say to our children with love, that come on, praise Allah, so there's some shara and haya modesty. The child has a need for the parents. Even then, the child has the need for the parents, isn't it? And the child, will he become upset that the father is reminding, or say, no, I can't fight with my father or argue. We can't hate each other. You're grown up now. I can't force you. So you didn't understand what I'm saying, then I won't speak to you. And this is jais. This is jais, subhanAllah. Permissible. This is a masala. That 3 days, if you don't speak to each other, you must resume the discussion, communication. But when it comes to deen, then you can cut off the tie for more than 3 days. There's a very great event about this. What can I say to you? In which there was a sahabi, his event at that time, radiallahu anhu, Allah's Nabi stopped speaking to him, and all of the sahaba stopped speaking to that sahabi. This is regards to the deen. Allah's Nabi said, come with me on this trip, expedition, and they didn't go. He didn't go. So then the link was cut with that sahabi. 50 days he suffered. And here, the ulema had explained the masala, and the mufassirin said that masala comes out here for the sake of the deen. You can put on freeze the relationships, but a Muslim normally should not exceed the lack of communication for more than 3 days. So Allah Ta'ala should be pleased that at least he has some feeling of remorse and regret and wants to improve his family. So let's inshallah do promise that me and you, to this extent, that we will always try that we, whatever we are, whatever is our scenario, we will reach to the masjid and pray salah in jama'ah. Will we do this inshallah? Inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala accept. Ameen.